Don't suggest for me that to put a string on my finger, because I look at it and I say, I wonder what that's there for. Amen. Praise God. But we've been talking about what our calling is from the Lord Jesus Christ, or one of the aspects or dynamics of our calling, and that is to become more like Jesus. That is God's will for us, and that should be our will as well, our heart's desire, that we become more like Jesus. However, as we've been looking at developing Christian character, we see there are a lot of different things. We're going to read them in just a moment as far as our text. But how many of you loved some of the different subjects that you studied in school? Maybe science, maybe math, maybe history, maybe English. Believe it or not, my wife loved English. I think she could have majored in English, but she loved English. Really wasn't my thing. But how many actually loved some of the different classes? How many loved every class that you had? I think all of us had one class that we would have rather done without. English might have been one. I think I took a health class once. I really didn't care for that. But, you know, there are always different things that we don't like. And such it is as far as becoming more like Jesus. Some things, as far as our nature and our character, you know, what God has given us and how we are and how our life kind of goes, some things we actually like doing. Some people have no problem with kindness. Bring on the kindness. You know, they're very kind and tender-hearted. Some people have no problem with living right. They are the people that before they step out of the house, and they're not me, the shoes are polished, there's the perfect crease in the pants, and the collar is starched. I don't know if people live that way anymore, but that's the way they used to live. You know, everything's perfect, and they don't have any problem with that. But I find there is usually something, some area of godliness that God calls us to that we're a little less inclined to embrace. In fact, I dare say there's one that none of us want, and we really don't talk too much about it here. We actually talk about it more when we study 2 Timothy, that being patience. You know, no one likes patience, but God certainly wants to develop patience within our hearts and lives because it is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. But whether we like it or not, that's what God's will is for us. And as we see, as we study this portion of Scripture, if we want to continue to progress in Christian maturity, which begins at the place of faith, Jesus, I believe you are my Savior, and ends with being a person of love, which God so desires, abide in these three things: faith, hope, love. The greatest of these is love. Then we need to embrace, whether we like it or not, each one of these stepping stones of Christian maturity, of good Christian character. Because we can't skip a step and expect to be the people of love that God has called us to be. And let me say this. I've mentioned this before, but I think it's an important point to just reinforce with all of us, including myself, this morning. It is critically important that we progress in Christian maturity for God's sake, but also for ours. Because as we become more like Jesus, our relationship with God becomes so much more fulfilling. Let's just read a portion of the text that we have been reading, beginning with verse 4. First Peter says, "Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our hearts together and let's ask God's blessing to be with us as we look to God's word together this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and grace, and we thank you for being with us here today. Dear God, as we look to your word this morning, we once again, by the power of your Holy Spirit, ask that you would move upon us, Lord, through your word. May you give words to this, your speaker today. May you give us all ears to hear what your Holy Spirit is saying to us, that we might be built up in grace, truth, and love. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. And just as far as by way of very brief review or reminder, we've looked at these different stepping stones, beginning with faith, ending with love, and it would appear from the way the scripture is written that each step is dependent upon the previous steps. And I think that's clearly seen in the first two steps, because you can't in any way live for God, the second step being righteousness or virtue. We talked about that last week. You can in no way live for the Lord Jesus Christ until you come to a place of faith in him. Until you put your belief in Jesus Christ as the Savior of your soul, all your works of righteousness, according to the Word of God, are just really filthy rags. And what I mean by that is this. You can, I have this shirt on this morning, but what you don't know this morning is there is a big black stain of ink right here. No, there isn't. I'm just kidding this morning. But it made such a good illustration, I couldn't help it. But I could have a nice, clean off-white shirt. I could wear this shirt, could take it right out of the laundry, iron it all up. Raylene does all the ironing, if you want to know. And I could get ready for church, but I could just spill one drop of coffee, and it really would be improper. I would, I'm sure you folks wouldn't care, but I would look like a slob. Why? Because this one stain. In fact, I do have to tell this story. Simon, when he was doing Reasonable Faith, I don't know if you're watching, brother, but Simon, when he was doing Reasonable Faith, had this video series, and this teacher was really, really good. The only problem is he wore this kind of a pinkish, peaches type of jersey, like an Izod or something like that, it was nothing wrong with it, except it had a stain. And every segment I could see that stain. And I'd come home and I'd talk to Raylene and I said, it was a good class tonight. Simon, his class was really, really good. And I said, but I kept looking at that stain in that guy's shirt. But such it is as far as our righteousness without Jesus. We can't hope to become anything that God expects us to be, even though for the most part we might tell the truth, or even though for the most part we might be generous. Because just like that stain on a shirt, it just takes one sin, one lie, one theft, one hatred filled thought, one thing that brings dishonor to God and dishonor to ourselves, that mars our righteousness before God. So faith is essential for righteousness. And as we talked about faith, and also we talked some about virtue or righteousness or godliness last week, we talked about how how they're not only things that, and we don't generate them ourselves, we allow the Holy Spirit to develop them within us. I mean, we do our best as far as studying the Word of God and praying, but basically becoming more like Jesus can be boiled down to this. We just allow the Holy Spirit to have His way in our lives, because God wants you to be a person not just of saving faith, but of growing faith. And God wants you to be a righteous person, not just in one area of your life, but every area. And He wants your righteousness to increase. Think of the words of the Lord Jesus to the Pharisees. Except your righteousness, or to His disciples, excuse me. Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. And so virtue must also increase. But today we're going to talk about the next stepping stone, the next Christian quality or Christian character that we need to have established in our heart and grow in our heart and life, that being knowledge. Faith leads to godliness, and then godliness leads to knowledge. And there's one thing that God does not want His church to continue in, but unfortunately, I think there are too many people who do, and that is spiritual ignorance. Have you ever, and I certainly have in the 30 or so years that I've been involved in ministry, have you ever shared a common scripture? And I'm not talking to someone brand new in Christ. Of course, they're unaware of a lot of scriptures. We don't expect babies to start rattling off Einstein's equations. It takes time. But I'm talking about people who have been serving God for years, people who've been in church, who sing songs, you know, church members and so forth. And in talking with them, you share with them a very basic scripture that would be found in a basic Sunday school class that kids would learn, or it would be in a New Life in Christ class, and they say, wow, I've never heard that before. Too often that is the case in the body of Christ, where people are living in a perpetual state of ignorance. In the Old Testament, one of the contributing factors that drove God's people, the people of Judah, away from serving God was ignorance. God Himself, through the mouth of the prophet, said to them, "My people perish. Why? For a lack of knowledge." And so here, God is saying that the next, if you want to be a person of love, and love is the height of Christian perfection, love covers a multitude of sins, we should be striving for love, then we not only need to be people of growing faith and growing virtue, we need to be a people of deep knowledge of God. And what does knowledge mean? I found this definition in one of my word studies. Knowledge signifies, as far as general intelligence or understanding. And as it relates to Christian faith, it goes on to say it's a deeper and more perfect, enlarged knowledge or understanding of the faith. It's such a knowledge that would belong to more advanced believers. And the knowledge that God exposes or expects and defines in this word are things that are lawful or unlawful for Christians. Moral wisdom, such as seen in right living. But as we see this word knowledge used in other scriptures, it not only is an understanding of the Word of God and understanding how we are to live as far as right and wrong morals. It goes so far beyond that. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans chapter 11, verse 33. This being in regards of his knowledge of the holy. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. The book of Romans is a remarkable book. It is the most expansive, most doctrinally complete book on salvation, why we need to be saved, what happens when we're saved, what salvation is all about. It is believed it was written by Paul at the height of his ministry. My personal belief, and this is my, and I mean this is just me, if there was only one book of the writings of Paul that I would have, it would be the book of Romans, because it deals with the salvation of one's soul. This man, as we read in the book of 2 Corinthians, had a great revelation of who God was. But notice his words at the height of his ministry as he would pursue each and every day more of God's knowledge and understanding in his life. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and unfathomable his ways. What does that tell me, my friends? And what does that tell you and me this morning as we study the Word of God? The truth of the Word of God, the knowledge of the Word of God, the understanding of the Word of God, and right in that we can include wisdom. God wants our wisdom as far as the things of God, which relate not only to worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ and understanding Him, but also living our lives in a godly way that exalts Jesus and blesses others. Also the judgments of God, the ways of God. God wants us to fully grasp all these things, and He wants our knowledge of these things to increase. Don't worry about being bored in your pursuit of the knowledge of God, because if you seriously hunger and thirst for the things of God, God will continue to fill you until the day of your death. The Apostle Paul, I could share myself this morning. I continue to learn things as I study the Word of God, as well as remember things I had forgotten. But if anyone achieved masteries as far as the Word of God, it was Paul, yet by his own words, the depths of the knowledge, the wisdoms, the ways, the judgments of God are unfathomable. Yet, as I mentioned a few moments ago, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm not surprised, and let me tell you, one of the things that breaks my heart, I've heard this in many, especially in many mainline churches, and I'm not going to name any specific mainline churches, but occasionally I kind of want to hear what's out there. And they'll have a service, and they'll give about as much of insight and scripture that wouldn't satisfy a flea as far as pursuing God and pursuing the understanding of God. Yet people continue to support those ministries who profess to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we not realize that the bulk of Christian ministry is centered around the Word of God? How do we know that? This is something that we read often. from Ephesians chapter 4, we refer to what some call the fivefold ministry. Beginning with verse 11, the Bible says he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, till we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. In this scripture, there is listed for us gifts, ministry gifts that God has given the church: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. And if the church doesn't take advantage of those gifts, and let me say, as far as the ministry of the Word of God, well, I'm actually jumping ahead to the kind of the closing thoughts of the message. We need not only to be people who read the Word of God and study the Word of God, if we're going to grow in Christ, and I'm saying this because God's Word says this, we need to be people who are exposed to the ministry gifts that God has given the church, the ministry gifts of the church, the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. And notice something that is, they're all different, they're all unique. They all do different things, but there's one thing that is the same in all of them. And that thing that is the same in all of these ministry gifts is the preaching and the teaching and the instruction of the Word of God. The Apostle Paul, the first great missionary. That's what an apostle is. He's a sent one. He went into town, and what did he do? He went and explained Jesus in the scriptures to the Jews, and he preached Jesus to the Gentiles. It was a preaching and teaching ministry. The ministry of prophet is what? Declaring what? My own words, what I think is going on, or declaring what the Word of God says. The ministry of evangelists, literally an evangelist is one who bears good news. And what is the good news? It's Holy Scripture. I know we talk about the gospel being about Jesus, and fundamentally it is Jesus. But this whole book is the gospel, is the good news. Amen? Paul's encouragement to Timothy, pastor, was to feed the flock of God. And I did deliberate on whether or not to have grass for you to chomp on this morning. The way we feed the Word of God is by, or feed the flock of God, is by teaching and preaching the Word of God. It is strength to our souls. And of course, teaching. And we have, even in the evangelical church, too much teaching of man's ways and man's wisdom. Self-help and motivational speaking and motivational types of encouragements, but very little as far as the teaching of the Word of God. God help us. If we don't avail ourselves to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, then the fallout is devastating according to this scripture. We, if we ignore, if we just want to hear the 10-minute homily of the mainstream preacher that says a whole lot about nothing. Well, actually says a little about nothing, because there's not much you can say in 5 minutes. I can't even get going in 5 minutes. Spiritual children or spiritual immaturity. I dare say when you see someone, most of the time, when you see someone acting unbecoming in the church, and what I mean by that, they are acting like the way they used to live before they accepted Jesus, rather than more like Jesus. One of the critical issues that's going on in their lives is ignorance of the Word of God. In this verse, it also says believers who do not develop understanding are unstable in all their ways. You can't be sure of what you're doing is right, because you're worried, you're not sure if your life is built on the solid foundation of the Word of God. And I'm not just talking about our faith, I'm talking about living, because God wants to be center of everything you do in your life. Your job, how you handle your finances, your relationships with friends and families. This book has everything you need to be successful and stable, I should say, in your homes, in your jobs, with your friendship, as a citizen, in the name of Jesus. But particularly, let me tell you today, and it may be a sermon I share in a few weeks when we get through these things, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ has unfortunately become an increasing haven for false doctrines and false teachings that bring people away from Jesus and focusing on Jesus and preaching Jesus to all kinds of other junk that doesn't belong there. And I hate to say new ones crop up, but there's a big one that's cropped up this year. God help us. And then, of course, if you're not growing in wisdom, you continue to live in foolishness, and as such, you're easily seduced by either man's or Satan's traps and snares. So, my friend, if we're going to have a stable life now, but number two, continue on a progression to become a person filled with the love of Christ, that sacrificial, unending, deep love, we need to be people who not only have obtained knowledge, we need to be people who are growing in knowledge. Let me share with you just a few things regarding this. Number one, our knowledge needs to be based on the truth of the Word of God. And I know I've been beating the drum on this for a long time, but I'm going to continue to beat it until Jesus comes. But the book you should read the most, the words you should listen to the most, if they're not words in the pages of this book, you need to get more into the Word of God. And I'm including my own preaching ministry. If you listen to me more than you're reading this book, you're going to have a very difficult time in becoming someone of knowledge, of wisdom, of understanding of the ways and the judgments of God. What is truth? Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them or make them holy or make them like you in the truth. Your word is truth. Get back to the basics of studying the Word of God. Now, I know some of you saying, Pastor Randy, didn't you just talk about apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers? Yes. However, let me tell you what keeps me in check as a pastor. I know that I've got people in this congregation who do two things. Number one, they study their Bibles. And number two, they listen very carefully to me. And if I was to say something that didn't line up, they would ask me about it. And I shouldn't need that as an encouragement. This is God's word. This is a great responsibility. I am accountable for God, what I say to you from this pulpit. But it is an added blessing and benefit to know that there are people who know the word of God, who are not only listening to whatever inspiration the Holy Spirit gives me as the pastor of this church, but who also know the word of God, that if I was to misquote something or to twist something to say, hey, that's not right. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And let me just add, regarding the truth of the word of God, that truth never changes. There has been a movement in mainline Christianity for years that says the word of God, it is not authoritative. It's inspired but not infallible. What I mean by that is this. It's not a perfect book. And basically when people say that, what they're saying is, there are things in the Bible I don't agree with. And so I need something to give me license to ignore those things that I don't agree with. So I'm just going to say, well, only parts of the Bible are inspired. But because man wrote it, it's full of errors. No. Paul said, holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. This is an inspired book. Amen. Culture has changed. And morals, unfortunately, in our culture have changed. And spirituality, unfortunately, in our culture has changed. But God never changes. And as such, his word will never change. In fact, long after this world has been consumed in a flaming ball of fire, there will be the word of God. Not one jot, not one tittle will fail of the law. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. The word of God is truth. Make sure your knowledge is based on truth. And may I say, and I've said this before, but this day and age especially, we have no excuse not to study the word of God, because And I get that there are some people who are stronger readers than other people. And there are some people who really can't read at all. And that doesn't mean that they're less of a person. There's some people who can't sing at all. I can't do things like, you know, any type of carpentry. I can't do things straight as hard as I try. You know, we all have different gifts and talents, but in this day and age with all of our devices, you can listen to the word. In fact, that's how the word of God was shared with generation after generation, just listening to those written words. You can go on Bible Gateway, press the speaker button before you go to bed at night or first thing in the morning, listen to a chapter, two chapters, 10 chapters, whatever, and meditate upon the word. There's no excuse not to do that. Well, wait, and then the question goes, well, where do I start? Because the Bible's a big book. And when I come to church Sunday morning, I hear about the Bible and scripture verses are read. But how do we go systematically through the Bible? How do I get my mind wrapped around this? And A good place to start, obviously, or rather, according to the words of Jesus, are the fundamentals of our faith, of our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Reading Matthew 28, 19 and 20. And the last counsels of Jesus to his disciples before he ascended, go therefore and make disciples, make followers of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Teaching. How do we become a disciple? We teach. And where do we begin in teaching? Two things. Number one, begin to memorize Scripture. And it's good to talk to someone, but a great scripture to start is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In fact, a lot of the scriptures here, a lot of them are in your notes. If you are moved by Romans 11:33, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, his unfathomable ways, or his ways past finding out. If that ministers to you, memorize it. It will be blessing and strength to your heart and soul, and will increase your understanding of the ways and knowledge of God. And then begin to learn the basic fundamentals or basic doctrines of the Bible. When you become born again, learn what does it actually mean to be saved? Why must I be saved? Why did Jesus die? How does Jesus die? How does that provide salvation to me? How does his resurrection provide salvation? Four critical doctrines of our church. Being born again. Number two, divine healing. Does God heal today? How can I be healed? Can we minister healing? How does healing, is there anything that hinders healing? What about the Holy Spirit? Does the Holy Spirit move today like he did before? What can we expect by the moving of the Holy Spirit upon our lives? Who is Jesus? Where did he come from? Is he coming back? What will happen when he does come back? These are all fundamental things that all of us should have a grasp on. And we need to do a better job as far as teaching these things. But like everything, it's a two-way street. And there needs to be a desire in the person who receives Christ as Savior, who wants to become a person of love, to increase their understanding. In fact, Paul, and we're going to talk about this in our Wednesday night Bible study, Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 shares with us the first simple creed or beliefs that he was taught, that Jesus died, that Jesus was buried, and that Jesus rose again. This is what I received, and this is what I give to you. Learning basic doctrine is a foundation to a greater understanding of the ways, the wisdom, the judgments of God. But it shouldn't just stop there at, you know, going through a basic doctrine class, and that's all very good. But then it's important to have a working knowledge of the Word of God. How do I use this Word? One of the most popular scriptures that speaks to this, I'm reading it in New American Standard. Some of you will remember more so in King James. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. That word be diligent in King James is translated study. It literally means to exert oneself or to give due diligence. And how that speaks to us, and what this is saying, is we need to be very diligent in doing what? Learning how to correctly handle this book, this truth, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've never used a chainsaw in my life. I could use one right now because I got a half-dead dogwood in my backyard. But before I do, I'm going to talk to Mr. Jesse. Because as useful as a chainsaw is in the hands of someone who's never used one, it could be a deadly weapon. In the book of Ephesians chapter 6, the word of God is described as a sword. And that is the way war was waged back in the day. But I am sure that when time came to wage war against the enemies, they didn't hand him a shield, hand him a sword, and said, go out there and win a battle. And you imagine all those swords flinging everywhere, they probably would have maimed more of their own than they would have inflicted losses upon the enemy. You've got to study, you've got to learn so that you can become skillful in the use of God's word. I think of some examples where the word of God was misused. And there was a joke that years ago they used to tell when I was growing up. People wanted to get guidance from the word of God, and so they do Bible roulette. And what that is, they kind of open up the scripture, put their finger in the scripture, and then read the scripture. And I don't know if the story was true, someone made it up, but the story goes, they open it up, they put their finger, Judas went forth and hung themselves. And they went, oh, what does that mean? So they did it again. And then they pointed to another scripture, and that scripture said, go thou and do likewise. And they're like, oh, no. And they went to the third one. Anyone hear this joke? It's really old. And then they did it again. What thou doest, do it quickly. But I tell you, I hear believers, pastors, misquoting the word of God. I remember sitting once in a message. And the pastor opened up the book of Job. And what the book of Job, it's the story of Job and his sufferings. It's a great book. But unfortunately, a good portion of the book is bad advice from Job's friends. He says, I'm going to quote Job. And he read a scripture from Job. And I cringed when he read it because I said, I hope this wasn't bad advice from a friend. And what the advice was whenever you go through something bad, it's because God is punishing you. You have sin in your life, which is a lie from the pit of hell. Yeah. And so I opened up my Bible and I looked at the reference. And sure enough, it was from one of Job's friends who was a bad counselor, improperly using the word of God. And then, of course, Satan is the chief or the king of that. In the Garden of Eden, he twisted the scriptures, twisted the word of God to Eve. And with Jesus, he used the word of God to try to manipulate Jesus into disobeying His Heavenly Father. Friends, if we do not correctly handle the word of truth, we can harm ourselves, put our faith on unstable foundations, and just as important, wound and injure and possibly deceive other believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Very quickly, let me end by saying this. We need to, as believers, strive not only to learn the basic points of doctrine and memorize scripture, and these are good things. We should do those things. But as our understanding, as we grow in Christ and as we ascend this ladder, or these steps to the pinnacle of love, we need to strive for our understanding to grow. And so we really need to understand, not just memorize God's word, but understand why God's word says what it says. And then secondly, we need to be able to receive God's word as truth, even though we don't quite understand it or quite agree with it. And there are times, you know, especially when we're new in Christ, where we read something and is this true? You know, especially as it relates to morals and ethics and things of that nature. And it certainly is truth, or the exclusivity of Jesus being the only way, the truth, and the life. We need to believe his word is good, is true, and then we need to live out his word in life and testimony. And there's a simple test that you can take of yourself whether or not you are growing, not just in memorizing scriptures and facts and dates and names and things like that, not just points of doctrine. You're growing in understanding of the wisdom, the ways, the judgments of God, is when you not only are at peace with all the truth that the Word of God is saying, you read a scripture and it speaks to you. You're able to clearly communicate that with other people. We're all emissaries. We're all ambassadors for the kingdom. Amen. We all need to be sharing this great message, and we can. Because God's no respecter of persons. And the only thing that will hinder us from growing in the wisdom, knowledge, the understanding of God, his ways, his wisdom, is us. Whether or not we'll allow the Holy Spirit to have his way. One verse in closing before we sing this morning. Oh, Psalm 119:97, and may this be our prayer. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Amen. You want to grow in Christ. You want to bless God. You want to bless others. You want to have a satisfied relationship with Jesus. And a perpetually satisfying relationship with Jesus. And you want to continue on that progression of love. Expand and allow the Holy Spirit to expand your understanding of the Word of God, of the ways of God, of the judgments of God, of the wisdom of God. And you'll not be left wanting. Would you stand with me this morning? Let's sing together today.